Welcome to another edition of the Star Blades podcast. I'm Chris Holt, sports editor here at the Star, joined as usual by our intrepid Sheffield United reporter, James Shield. No Steve Jones today, our usual host. He's feeling a little bit under the weather and decided that his voice and maybe even his appearance would be just a little bit too much for everybody on a Thursday afternoon. So I'm filling in is a good day to be on the podcast today, James, because as well as things have been going recently, they kind of stepped up a notch a bit last night with the way, and obviously a great result as it was, but the way that they got the result was even more impressive, and indeed it just adds a bit more of a smile to everybody's face when you win it like that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, beating Blackburn Rovers the way that Tony Mowbray's side have been performing this season would be great at any time, but particularly at this stage of the season. And I think, as you quite rightly said, Chris, particularly in the manner that Sheffield United did it, because they had everything thrown at them, not only before the game, but also during it. They've lost some key players, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on in this podcast. During the build-up to kick-off, they lost another one right before the game in the shape of Chris Basham. Then during the match, they had Charlie Good making his full debut for the club, sent off, reduced to 10 men. Blackburn really in the ascendancy at that point in the game. Missed a penalty, expertly saved by Wes Fodderingham, and then Ben Davis pops up with a winner in added time. But anyway, enough of sort of the potted recap of what happened against Blackburn Rovers. As you quite rightly said, the big thing, I think, is the manner in which that victory was achieved. It almost felt like more than 3 points, didn't it? You had everything that is good about Sheffield United at the moment all wrapped up into 90 minutes, the fight, the excellent football they played, particularly during the first half and then again during the closing stages of the game. But that fight, that grit, that determination, it almost feels like Sheffield United are back after a really difficult start to the season, the crowd working in tandem with the team. And as I said in my match report, it was the type of result, not only because of the team it was achieved against, but in the manner in which it was achieved, that really makes you begin to think something quite special might be happening.
It does. It did feel, walking out of the ground last night, it really did generally feel like this is a pivotal point in the season here. This is definitely a point in the season where you could look back, if things go well, you look back and go, that really was the moment when things started just to click, and that will be looked back upon as a real kind of milestone in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to sound a little bit daft, perhaps, but you're going to watch Sheffield United now, and you feel as if there's a sort of a real sense of destiny around the football club, or around the squad, really, I should say, at this point in time. And you do feel that, you know, no matter what challenge, no matter what hurdles are put in this team's sort of way at the moment, that they're going to be able to overcome them. And I think two really important things have happened because of that. I think you saw last night, Bramall Lane was a bear pit in the best possible way. And I think that result has really connected reconnected the support base with the team. I think that's absolutely vital, because it's something that Paul Heckingbottom has been desperate to try and do. I mean, don't forget, he was around as the club's under-23s coach when that great Chris Wilder side was just sort of surging through the division. And there was absolutely no doubt that, and it's not a cliche, it's true, that the crowd really was the team's 12th man at that point of the season. But you know what? If us as journalists, and more importantly, fans going to watch the game, feel that way, and they can drag the team through a game as they did last night, because there were some really difficult periods for Sheffield United in that match, make no mistake about it. But if the crowd can sort of haul them through those, and the crowd have got that belief that you said they had when they were leaving the stadium. We were still sort of inside, obviously, at the time, interviewing the managers and sort of desperately rewriting our match reports. Albeit it was one of those occasions when, as a reporter, you don't feel like flinging the laptop halfway across the ground because you've got about another 200 words to write or strip out your match report and redo right at the end. But if everybody around the team is feeling that way, you can bet your bottom dollar that everybody in that home dressing room on Wednesday night will be feeling exactly the same. And there's an awful lot of talent in that squad. There's an awful lot of nous. There's an awful lot of experience. There's a hell of a lot of ability. And if you can marry all of that with and sort of stick all that together with the glue of self-belief, as it were, then I think that's going to be a pretty powerful thing moving forward.
And what I'm going to say here is actually, I'm running through my head, and it's come to me. It's something I've been thinking about for a couple of days, certainly as I walked out of the ground last night. I was actually speaking to my daughter about it because she forgot that Slav had even been there. Do you know what I mean? So this kind of funny little period that United had in between, well, Chris Wilder, Hickey, yeah, Slav, and then Hickey again. There's this kind of weird period in time. And I was talking to her about how things have changed so much compared to what they were like, certainly at the beginning of this season, when it just seemed everything was just a bit drab and grey, and you know, there was no life about Bramall Lane in the matches, and I dare say people weren't particularly looking forward to going. But as you said there, Paul Heckenbottom has reignited this, and I don't know whether I'm giving him too much credit or not, but it can't be a coincidence. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just wondering, does Sheffield United as a club need to have somebody with, not necessarily be from around this area, but at least somebody who really gets the club for that to happen, and for the fans to get wrapped up in it all? Because I'm not entirely sure Slav did. We've seen in the past, you know, people like Nigel Adkins the fans didn't really warm to him. Does it take to have a local man or somebody connected to the club, or at least somebody who really, like, can really see what Sheffield United's about for it to be a success at this club?
Well, I
don't want to sound xenophobic.
No, not
we don't want any foreigners around here, do you know what I mean? But that's why I was being very careful about what I said.
Well, if that was the case, that's you and I out of the building, Chris, isn't it? So don't you? So no, I didn't take that. I don't think anyone will take that the wrong way at all. No, I absolutely get your point, and I think I'm a big believer. I know you are as well. That every football club has got its own sort of distinct personality, hasn't it? You know, it's got. I know you always hear managers very often speaking after a game or before a game, saying, well, you know, we want players to work hard. We want to play football in a certain way. Blah, blah, blah. And very often it all sounds pretty similar. But I think when you get down to the nitty gritty, every football club has got its own personality. It's got its own characteristics, and it's got its own. I don't think it's a way of playing, but I think it's got its own sort of, every club has its own value system. If that makes any sense. And I certainly think Paul Heckenbottom gets that. I certainly think Chris Wilder gets that. And do you know what? And I'm going to be fair to him here, because Slavisa Jokanović, he was a good guy. He is a good guy. And he's clearly a really talented manager when you look at his CV. I think, in fairness to him, he got it too as well. But he just wanted to play a little bit of a different way. I think Paul Heckenbottom, listen, I'm taking nothing away from Paul. I think he's really benefited from that spell that he had in caretaker charge last season. And more importantly than that, just the time he spent around the club when Chris Wilder was here. What I will say is, though, I think what this proves more than anything is that because Paul is a good manager, Chris was a good manager, Slav is a good manager. I think what it really proves is that if you are going to undertake sort of almost seismic change, which is something that Slavisa wanted to do, Sheffield United, at the minute, they're having a great deal of success playing a certain way. Paul as well. And I don't think this was an easy decision to make. I think it was a simple decision, but almost the genius is in that simplicity. He's gone back to something that was, very similar to what Chris Wilder was doing. He's gone back to a very similar strategy to the one that Chris Wilder was employing when he took the club out of League One and to ninth in the Premier League. But I think what the events of the past couple of months have shown is that if you are going to undertake or go into a period of change, you need to have the manager and a board and everybody else at the football club working, and reading from the same script, singing from the same hymn sheet. And I don't think that was the case when Slavisa was here. And I think that made that change that he was trying to effect almost impossible to sort of achieve. I think Sheffield United were at a very difficult period in their history at the time. Listen, we had all manner of players. Every time we did a Zoom conference, which is what we were doing at the time, with a member of the squad, over that summer, they were telling us, listen, we're not down from relegation. We're ready to bounce back. They weren't. They were on the floor. You could see that. And the more they told you that wasn't the case, the more you knew that actually was the case. So I think Slavisa inherited the football club in a very difficult period in its history. And there were issues behind the scenes that he perhaps could have dealt with a little bit more diplomatically, but that did handicap him. So I think the big lesson to come out of all of this, because the one thing that Paul Heckingbottom, I think, has shown he is, as well as a damn good coach, I think he's shown himself to be a pretty shrewd politician as well, because there's no doubt he didn't get everything his own way. He didn't get everything he wanted during the January transfer window. But I think he handled it quite well. I think he realised that, this can't be a football club that's fractured at this point. If the football club is fractured and the management are pulling in a different way to the board, let's say, or publicly doing that, there's going to be issues and we can't fulfil our potential. So I don't think Sheffield United have to play a certain style of football. I don't buy that argument whatsoever. I think Sheffield United can play up and at them football. I think they can play... I always hate this phrase because I don't think it is good football, but you understand where I'm coming from when I say that. And I think if Sheffield United pigeonhole themselves too much in terms of a way in playing, then I think they'll cause issues for themselves further down the track, because there's not always going to be a certain type of manager available to step into the hot seat when a vacancy suddenly comes about. But no, for me, the big thing is making sure that the focus is on the football. And that's something that Paul Heckingbottom was able to achieve. That's something that Chris Wilder was able to achieve for a long, long period until his relationship with the ownership became fractured. We all know how that turned out. Slav's became fractured a little bit quicker than I think we all thought it would. So it's a reminder, hopefully, that there are still issues to address behind the scenes at the football club. I know people are going, oh, God, here he goes again when I say that. But it is true, and Sheffield United will be doing themselves a disservice if they don't start privately confronting some of those and addressing some of those over the next few months, or hopefully the next few weeks. But hopefully the one thing that everyone will take away from this is that great things can happen if all of the focus is actually on what happens on the pitch. Because ultimately, it's results, and I don't care what anybody says, it's results that really do set the tone for a football club.
Good. I think you answered my question there.
Yeah. Hopefully I did.
Moving on then. I guess the cloud in amongst all of this is the injury situation, which is getting increasingly increasingly difficult for Heggie to put a team together, particularly in certain areas of the pitch. Up front, he's gone from feast to famine, really. you know, after us essentially complaining that he had too many options at his disposal, and now he's got very, very few, really. And at the back, hindered again by Charlie Goode. I'm not giving too much stick, and put it down to a bit of over enthusiasm and willing to perform well on his debut. But he has put Sheffield United in a difficult position for the weekend, because obviously we've got injuries to Chris Basham. Andy Stevens has been out for quite some time. Ben Osborne's been out for quite some time. Ben Davies came back in last night. I'm not entirely sure how fit he actually is to start. Where else have we got?
Jaden Bogle.
Bogle.
Yeah.
There's just...
Did we mention Ender Stevens?
Ender Stevens I mentioned, yeah. So, Paul's got a problem at the back, in the very immediate term, anyway. What's he going to do?
Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully things will begin to bed down a little bit once Sheffield United get to the international break, because, you know, the fixture schedule does sort of just slow down a little bit around then. And it was interesting, actually, just when I was talking earlier about Paul Heckingbottom being as good a politician and as good a diplomat, I think, as he is a manager. Because, as you remember, when he was unveiled, you can't refer to him as a coach, but as a manager. I thought it was really interesting, actually. He made his point over the Christmas and New Year period, when Sheffield United had forgotten what it was like to play a football match, because so many of the teams they were playing against were postponing matches because of COVID-19 issues. And privately, there was an awful lot of anger behind the scenes at Sheffield United about some of those call-offs. And Paul made his feelings felt, albeit in quite polite terms. I think everybody knew at the time, we certainly wrote it, that he wasn't happy with the way the situation was being handled. And reading between the lines, he felt that some of Sheffield United's rivals in the Championship were using the pandemic to try and gain a sporting advantage. And he touched on that again before the match against Blackburn Rovers, when he did say that not all, but some, he felt, of the injuries that Sheffield United have experienced at the moment were coming about because of the fixture schedule and because of the sudden shifts in workloads that his squad were experiencing. But you're absolutely right. Listen, that's happened now. You're absolutely right. I think certainly at the back, he's one injury away now from a serious, serious issue. And this, again, is why I said Sheffield United can't afford, and I don't think they have. I think they've got a plan A. I know everybody likes to talk about plan Bs, but you know what? Very, very few teams have got a plan B, because they invest so much in making or trying to make sure that plan A works. And I don't think they really prepare for games thinking that the tactics that they've been working on aren't going to work. Otherwise, what was the point in working on them all week? But they are one injury away from a real issue at the back. And they are one injury away, certainly in defence, from possibly having to consider a change of formation, I think. They can't afford any more issues there. Up front, I think they've possibly just got enough to...
Yeah, I think they're probably okay.
Yeah, and...
Given that you can probably switch. I mean, if necessary, you could probably put Gibbs Wade up front as a...
Yeah, that's right. And
you can maybe even put Berg in there as a front man if you really had to.
Yeah, absolutely. And Illiman and Dye as well gives you an option there as well, doesn't he? So I think they've possibly got enough there. But no, at the back... I mean, I think Sheffield United now, listen, I think they're fighting almost a battle on two fronts, and they're fighting enemies in the championship for a place in the playoffs, but I think there's also an internal enemy, and that's the casualty list, because it really isn't great. It is an issue. It's an issue now. I hope it's not going to become an even bigger issue going forward. And it would be a crying shame if injuries hijacked the season for Sheffield United and stripped them of momentum. But I'm sure during this game against Millwall, which is going to be a really, really tough game, because I think they're going to begin having sort of getting designs on a top six place pretty soon as well. I think they're going to be privately just thinking about ways that they can possibly maintain this great sequence of results that they're getting at the moment with a different formation, with a different strategy, because they are just one slip, one bad tackle, one sending off, one illness away, you know, from a real, real problem.
I've just written down the back five there, and that is literally all they've got.
Yeah. There's nowhere else to go, is there, for now?
So you've got Baldock, Egan, Davies, Robinson, Norrington, Davies.
Yeah.
And that's essentially it. There is no replacement for either one of those at the minute.
No. No. Listen, there's no point in dressing it up. It's not a great position to be in. And it will be a real concern for Paul Heckingbottom and his assistant, Stuart McCall. I'm not going to forget Jack Lester, actually, as well. No, his name's already been left out of the song, hasn't it?
No, but, well, if the crowd have changed the song to get him in, then don't you believe in him out either. Yeah, you touched on it there. Millwall have been in decent form, up and down. Maybe as you would expect Millwall to be, you know, hard to beat. Could beat anyone on their day, likely to suffer a defeat at some stage along the way as well. What are you expecting? Are we just expecting a very typical Millwall away day?
Well, you are to an extent, and you know what? People will probably be screaming at their speakers or shouting at the screens when I say this, but I always think, and I'm going to get this the right way round. I always think Millwall are almost like the Sheffield United of the South, or if you're at Millwall, Sheffield United like the Millwall of the North, because I think they're two unashamedly blue-collar football clubs. I think they're two football clubs that revel in sort of their working-class roots and their work ethic. I think they're two clubs that are very close to their communities. And I think it's two football clubs, as we were saying earlier, that have got a really distinct identity. Going to be writing about this over the weekend, and a really distinct sort of personality. So you know you're going to get from Millwall. You know what you're going to get from a Gary Rowett side as well. That is, they're going to be organised, they're going to fight, they're going to dig in, and they're also going to play when the opportunity arises. So, again, pretty much similar to Sheffield United under Paul Heckingbottom. But you know what? I think the big advantage United have got, and I'm sure this has come about by accident rather than design, although maybe not, because I was reading an article earlier this week about how Chelsea, in the Premier League, have sort of almost weaponized the loan market by sending players out on loan, sending some of their good young prospects out to rival top flight teams in England, knowing that they can, knowing that they're going to be playing regular football, knowing that they can further their development, but also knowing, more importantly, they're not going to be available when Chelsea play against them. And of course, Millwall are going to be without Oliver Burke and Luke Freeman in this game, obviously both down at the Den on loan now. So I think Sheffield United will benefit from that, hopefully.
They're always a weird team, aren't they, really? You never really see them likely to challenge for the top six, really. But nobody ever likes going down there. It's always a difficult place to go. They may flirt with the bottom end of the table, but you always kind of feel like, no, they've got enough. They're all right. But having just had a glance at the table there, because Sheffield United have risen up quite quite so far over the past few weeks. I haven't really been looking beneath them, other than I've been looking up rather than down. They're solid mid table. I mean, they're seven yep. points off the top six, which, you know, actually isn't, given the amount of games, it's not that much really. There's just quite a lot of teams in front of them, but it's just going to be difficult, and it's one of those ones. And I've been saying this recently. Probably wouldn't have liked it to have been against Hull, but you can't expect them to win. You can't expect Sheffield United to win every game because this league is so difficult. So at some stage, you are going to drop points. Last night looked like, for the very long stages, like that was going to be the one. And you look at that and say, actually, 0-0 against what was the third best team in the league is not
would
the
have worst. Been a good result, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. And actually, if you go down to Millwall this week and end up with a draw again, I don't think that would be the worst result to get, really.
No, not at all. And this was a point that Paul Heckingbottom made, actually, after the match against Blackburn Rovers, because if you look at certainly Sheffield United's fixture schedule, they're playing an awful lot of the teams, they've still got to play an awful lot of the teams around them in the table. And how many times do you see at this stage of the season that teams do start sort of maybe slipping up in matches where you wouldn't expect them to. So, you know, Paul was making the point that this is going to be a test of nerve as much as it is footballing skill going forward now, because you do suspect, as you said, Chris, that the league positions are going to change on a pretty regular basis. You know, one week Sheffield United will be in the playoffs, the next week they might be out of them, then they'll go back in, and the same at Middlesbrough and the same at Forest and maybe the same at Millwall, Coventry, Luton. And it's going to be who holds their nerves. But you're right, as long as I think you keep that points total ticking over, I think that momentum, keeping that rhythm going, is almost almost as important as sort of any one game on an individual basis. Because I go back, we touched on the Chris Wilder era earlier, and I can remember towards the end of the season when Chris took United up into the Premier League, and they played Birmingham City, who were a better Birmingham City side at the time than the one they've just faced, although I'm not saying Birmingham are a bad side, but I think they were stronger then. Certainly they were in a better place mentally, I think it's fair to say. And Sheffield United drew there at St Andrews. I'm not entirely sure of this, but I think Leeds were playing the next day. Of course, they were in a real dogfight with for automatic promotion. And you thought, you know what, that's not a bad result. But there was a real sort of sense about, oh, no, that's an opportunity missed. Leeds will win tomorrow. And, you know, then that gap will stretch even further. I might be wrong, but I think Leeds, they may well have lost or even dropped points. I should have looked this up before that.
I think they also drew. I think they also drew. So you've come away with a decent point there, and you haven't lost any ground. And
yeah, absolutely. Against really, really tough opposition, dogged opposition, and that's what Millwall will be. I don't think they'll sit in the same way that Hull did. And I know you and I have talked about this. I think that's something that Sheffield United are going to have to get used to. That's maybe where players like, you know, I mean, Morgan Gibbs-White, listen, we all know how good he is, but Illiman and Dyee, that might be a situation where he really comes into his own, when Sheffield United are going to have to unlock a team that is basically prepared to spend 90 minutes camped on the edge of its own penalty box. Because I think that is something that's going to happen on an increasingly regular basis between now and the end of the season. But you know, with the Millwall fans, you know, with this match being at the Den, I don't think that's something that Millwall are going to do. I don't think it's something their supporters would tolerate, and I don't think it's something that Gary Rowett would want from his side over. They'll have a go, and I think that suits Sheffield United.
Good stuff. Have we got a prediction for us?
Yeah, do you know what? I have, yeah.
I'm gonna
and I won't go on
I'm gonna put it down for a draw. I think it will be a draw, actually.
I wouldn't be at all surprised we're 1-1. But I'm gonna probably I'm just getting so fueled up by what happened against Blackburn. I'm gonna go for Sheffield United to nick it 2-1.
Well,
yeah.
I hope you're right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Millwall went in front.
No, I wouldn't either. Okay, that's us for this week. We will be back next week. Steve might even be here. Danny might even be here. He's been ducking out of these for a wee while.
Must have been something you said.
Yeah, no. Obviously, as usual, stay with us for all the best coverage of Sheffield United in print and online each and every day. And, of course, tomorrow we'll have the press conference to give you all the details ahead of the match away to Millwall, where hopefully we'll have a little bit of good news on the injury front for a change this week. That's us for me, Chris Holt, and James Shield, and we'll see you next week.